Maybe this is what the bailout's doing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We haven't seen much evidence that the bailout money given to banks has increased lending, but it might be allowing banks to get their houses in order a bit more. That won't make their investors feel much better during this earnings season, though. This morning, J.P. Morgan Chase said profits fell 76% last quarter. We'll be getting more of these bank reports in the coming days, and they'll probably all have a similar story. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Many banks signed up for a piece of the $250 billion cash infusion program launched by the Treasury last October. But Standard & Poor's equity analyst Stuart Plesser says that didn't do much to prop up fourth quarter earnings. It's still too early, he says, for that money to have a positive effect. In fact, having that cash on hand could mean even worse results.
I think that some of the banks feel that because they have this capital from the government that they could be more aggressive in the write-downs they take.
Now they've got the money, he says, banks could use it to take massive write-downs they couldn't afford to absorb before. In the meantime, the earnings outlook for smaller regional banks isn't much better. Plesser says they aren't nearly as exposed to the complex securities that got so many big-name banks in trouble, but they hold plenty of mortgage and credit card loans, and default rates on those just keep going up. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The second half of the bailout is up for vote today in the Senate. Obama and the Democrats want Congress to release the money, but there's some Republican opposition. They aren't exactly thrilled with the way the first half was handled. Obama promises the second $350 billion will only go to financial companies and people facing foreclosure. But Congress might put some restrictions in place to make sure that is the case. Wall Street's pointing to a mixed open this morning, but the stock markets have taken heavy losses in the last 24 hours. In Japan today, the Nikkei fell almost 5%. Hong Kong shares were down close to 4%. European stocks have smaller losses so far, 0.5% at this point. The Dow is at 8,200. It fell 248 points yesterday, almost 3%. The Nasdaq lost 56 to 1489. A stock to watch this morning is definitely Apple. In after-hours trading, Apple shares fell 7%. That's because CEO Steve Jobs announced he's taking a few months off to deal with health problems. More on that from Jeremy Hobson.
There are few CEOs whose health status can send their company's stock up and down. University of Southern California marketing professor Kenneth Wilbur says in Apple's case, shareholders are scared of uncertainty after so many successful years with Steve Jobs at the helm.
No one knows what Apple without Steve Jobs would be like. Would it keep on going? Or does he embody and bring so much to the firm that without him, they would crash and burn?
During Jobs' leave of absence, Apple's COO Tim Cook will take over, as he did when Jobs was recovering from pancreatic cancer in 2004. About a year later, Jobs told Stanford graduates that his near-death experience pushed him to take more risks.
Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life.
Choices that may have led to products like the iPhone. Jobs says he plans to stay involved in major strategic decisions during this absence. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A sign of the times for Times Square. The Virgin Megastore, a fixture on the square for many years, will be closing in April. The space will be leased instead to a clothing store called Forever 21.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Today, Hawaii becomes the first state to switch to digital TV. In about a month, it'll be digital only everywhere. But there are some concerns about this. Barack Obama has called for a postponement because he says a lot of people aren't ready. And environmentalists are worried what is going to happen to all those old TV sets. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Shia Levitt reports.
Jensen Kroll stands between pallets of shrink-wrapped TV sets stacked about 6 feet high. He oversees regional e-waste recycling for the company Waste Management. That includes this plant in Somerset, New Jersey.
These TVs are all here to be deprocessed or demanufactured down into their final components.
Cathode ray tube TV sets are sawed in half to remove the leaded glass. Metals go into their own bin, and plastic casings into a trash compactor. Kroll's noticed more old TV sets since the digital switchover was announced, but lots of TVs don't make it here. Instead, they end up in landfills, where environmentalists worry their toxic components can cause harm. Before the stream of obsolete TVs turns into a flood, some environmental groups are pushing manufacturers to foot the bill for recycling their products.
They should just build it in as part of the cost of when we buy a product. If I'm buying a TV, part of what I should be paying for is the cost of recycling that television.
Barbara Kyle coordinates the Electronics Take Back Coalition.
When the manufacturers are in the loop like that, they actually have an incentive to modify their products to make them more recyclable.
Some major players are already on board, among them Samsung, LG, and Sony. They're starting to pay firms to recycle their old products. Doug Smith is Sony's environmental affairs director. He says electronic waste contains more valuable materials than any ore mined from the ground.
With enough volume coming in, we can actually be more profitable at generating new raw materials than a mine should be.
Some states prohibit the disposal of e-waste into landfills. Others have legislation mandating that manufacturers take responsibility for electronic waste collection and recycling. Hawaii passed its own bill last year that puts the responsibility on manufacturers, but it will take a few years to phase in the requirements. In Brooklyn, I'm Shia Levitt for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.